I'm going to be reading from 1 John chapter 4 verses 10 to 19. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his spirit. And we've seen and testify that the Father has sent his son to be the saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us.
Hi, everyone. Today we're looking at fear as our next in our series on socially acceptable sins, and it's a big one. Because as a society, we're awash in fear. Because fear works. The daily news uses it powerfully. As much of what hooks us in is fear-based in the news. As the saying goes, if it bleeds, it leads. The more alarming and bleak it is, the more we're drawn to it. Apparently, some news stations work with consultants who offer fear-based topics that are pre-scripted, outlined with point-of-view shots and have experts at the ready. It's called stunting. Or just add water reporting. Further to this is the frequent use of the crawl, that scrolling headline ticker that appears at the bottom of the screen of all the breaking news, which often have alarming titles and contribute to a general sense that our neighbourhood and communities are unsafe, that crime rates are always rising, that you're more and more likely to become a victim, and that generally the world is a dangerous place. In large part, thanks to fear-driven reporting. For years, advertising has known the power of fear too. Whether it's for something like bad breath with this old ad, that's what halitosis is, folks, bad breath, and it makes you unpopular, apparently. To motivating you to have clean hands, like this ad. Fear is the motivator to move people to act on their desires to save themselves and look after themselves. And this gets a workout in our lives and in our minds. And often without any outside political spin or advertising punch, people are afraid of almost everything, from spiders to public speaking to flying to beards. Yep, there's a fear of beards, people. Pogonophobia. If there's something in the world, there seems to be a fear of it. In psychological terms, there's a bunch of different things in this world that go towards a general, non-specific category of anxiety, which I personally have felt the bite of. But I'm sure we've all felt anxious at some stage, as we've struggled with our physical health or had stressful things happen, like family and relationship problems, the shock of a traumatic event, someone we love dying, someone abusing us, losing our job, not being able to find another job. And about one in every four people get to a point where they're worrying so much, it's debilitating. Fear and worry, it's so common, so normal, and so acceptable. So much so there's an entire medical industry built around dealing with it. Interesting, though, how on the one end we've got politics and mass media pushing fear to get us to do things and buy things, and then at the other end, an entire health industry trying to pick up the pieces of stressed out and anxious people. We live in a washing machine world of fear, churning our minds to just accept it's a normal and natural part of life. In fact, some might argue it's not just natural, it's smart. After all, you snooze, you lose, right? And if you're afraid, well, then you're awake to the dangers. To live in fear, then, is to survive. Seems smart, then, to worry about making sure your life is as good as it can be for you and yours. Well, the Bible offers a bit of a different take on fear. Firstly, it says, fear is sin. Secondly, that God's love drives out fear. And finally, that God's love gives us courage to face our fears and live for him. So firstly, fear is sin. The first explicit reference to fear in the Bible is Genesis 3, with sin coming into the world. Adam and Eve disobey God, they eat the fruit God told them not to, and then fear appears, as we hear Adam respond to God after God calls him in the garden. We read in Genesis 3, Adam answered God, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid." Adam and Eve with him, they end up fearing God, because they disobeyed him and are exposed. Literally, they realize they're naked and exposed in their guilt. They fear God in his anger and his judgment at them. The irony is they didn't fear God enough to start with. They feared more missing out on something God told them they shouldn't do and end up suffering the added fear of his anger and his judgment. And the simple fact is we've all followed in their footsteps in our selfish attempts to grab at life without God. We've all feared missing out on doing life our own way because we've been sold a lie. A lie that we can't trust God, that he's holding out on the best for us, so we need to get it for ourselves. But it's in this fear that we don't do what God wants, which, like Adam and Eve, leaves us in a desperate state where we should fear God's anger and judgment, as Jesus will later say, "Don't be afraid of those who kill the body and can't kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." But the simple fact is people in this world, in the world around us, they don't fear God. They do fear others more. They fear not getting what they want in this world more. They don't fear God. Instead, they fret after the things in this world and sink all their efforts in therapies and activities to deal with the fact that all their fretting and accompanying worries don't actually get them what they want. And in this churning of fear and earthly attempts to cure their fear, we see fear for what it is. Sin. But for those of us trusting in Jesus, those of us who felt the bite of Jesus' words earlier, who've owned our guilt and shame, who've owned that we haven't feared God enough, that we've feared people more, feared not having more in this world or losing what we've got more than doing what God wants, and who've felt the fear of God's anger and judgment, and maybe like Adam, feared being exposed naked in our sin before God and wanting to hide ourselves from God, we see that in Jesus, God's love drives out this fear, which is the second point. In our fear of everything but God, amazingly in Jesus, God still loves us and is intimately with us, as the Apostle John writes. "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us." So if we acknowledge Jesus, then we know a few things about God. One, the Father loves us and is for us. He sent his Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sin, to be that which turns his justifiable anger away from us. God's punishment for our sin was entirely dished out on Jesus. The price is paid. It's paid by the Father with the blood of his own Son for us. Two, the Holy Spirit is with us. Those who acknowledge Jesus, they do so only as the Holy Spirit enables them by living in them and with them. And three, the Son bled for us, as John writes earlier in his letter. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. The Son came in the flesh as Jesus and willingly laid down his life for us. He wasn't forced to. He lovingly shed his blood for us. Found out the other day that the average person has about 5 litres of blood in them, which amounts to about 100,000 drops of blood. Jesus shed his blood for us, 100,000 drops of it for us, because he loves us. That's at least 100,000 reasons to trust him, 100,000 reasons to trust that his love is greater than the combined mistrust, doubts and defiance of the whole world. In Jesus, you cannot stop God loving you. You want to say the most grabbing news is that if it bleeds, it leads? Well, the news of Jesus and his bleeding for us, his death for us, is the greatest and most compelling lead that doesn't let fear drive us, but rather drives fear away. Because the one who can and should punish us for our sins is the very one who wants to forgive us and be with us. There's no place to fear him. No wonder John can write then, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. In this we see God's love drives out fear, because in Jesus the Father loves you, the Spirit is with you, and the Son bled for you. In Jesus God loves you and loves you and loves you and is with you no matter what else happens, no matter how bad and troubling and scary life may be, we don't need to fear, because in Jesus God is with us. And it's in this that we know God's love drives out fear. So, fear is sin, but God's love in Jesus drives out fear and gives us the courage to face our fears and live for God. That's our third point. Time and time again throughout the scriptures, we see the command to not be afraid. Don't be afraid, Genesis 15. Don't fear, Isaiah 41. Don't be afraid, Deuteronomy 31. Don't be terrified, Joshua chapter 1. Don't be afraid, Isaiah again. And God can ask this of people, because to Abraham he says, I am your shield and your very great reward. To Moses, he says, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. To Joshua, the Lord God will be with you wherever you go. To Isaiah, I am with you. To Isaiah again, God is coming to your rescue. And we see that all these promises of God, that he'll be with his people through thick or thin, that he'll save them and love them and keep them close to him, these promises, they are supremely ours in Jesus. Because unlike those saints of old, in Jesus we know even better who's with us. God the Father, Son and Holy Spirit is with us now and forever. So we don't need to fear anything or anyone else. As Paul can say, if God is for us, who can be against us? And later, John sees Jesus in a vision who says to him, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. This reality, this truth that God, the great sovereign, the one who's over time and governs history, the first and the last, this God is intimately and eternally with us in Jesus. And this should give us courage to do God's will and to do it boldly, even when, especially when it might be scary to do so. When I was in year 8 at school, at one stage, I was running away from a year 10 kid who was hot on my heels, ready to thump me. I may have pushed him earlier for being a jerk, but we won't get into that. Now, I was fast, but he was faster. He was a lot faster and bigger and stronger than me. And he was gaining on me. And apart from getting physically tired, I was freaking out. I was dreading him catching up to me. And then I turned a corner and literally ran into two of the biggest guys in my year who just happened to be part of a loose crowd that I hung around, Sally and Ando. They quickly saw what was going on and they stepped up beside me to face this guy, who suddenly wasn't as fast or as keen to get at me. And I can remember at that moment, with those two beefy guys standing with me, that my fears dissolved and I could look that year 10 guy in the eye and stand my ground. Maybe you've had a similar experience where you've been in a bit of a sketchy spot, but your fears have been lessened because, well, you've had that special person with you. Whether it was your dad or your bodybuilding friend or whoever, that's made facing something scary more than doable. Well, in Jesus, we've got the ultimate person with us. We've got the God of the universe who's our Father. And so there's nothing and no one we need to be afraid of as we get on board with what he wants. Because as scary as it might seem, and as much as we might suffer for doing God's will, even if we lose our life doing it, even then, we'll never lose God in Jesus. And so in the light of that, we've got the courage of God with us to serve him, and to serve him in any and every possible scenario, no matter how dangerous or scary. As Paul can say, God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-control. With God's Spirit in Jesus, we've got God's power to obey him, even to the point of laying down our life for him, because we know that's not the end with God. It's just the start of a wonderful new chapter with him. As such, we can be bold and courageous in doing his will, even when it costs us. Costs us, like forgiving those who've hurt us terribly, or telling the truth, even when we know people won't like it and it might bring us trouble. Or sticking up for someone in a crowd who's being slandered. Or being vulnerable and seeking forgiveness from someone that you've hurt rather than just letting it slide. Or prepared to have a hard word with your friend rather than let them blindly go on in some unwise or sinful thing. Or giving up a holiday with your family to help out the poor somehow together instead. Or ending a relationship that's hurting your relationship with God. Or putting your hand up to serve or learn to lead in a ministry that you don't feel comfortable or adequate for, but want to learn how to do it. Or boldly and unapologetically talking to people about Jesus, that you believe in him and that your hope's in him. Or going with that urge to leave a profitable career to study at Bible college. Or running with that desire to spread the gospel where it hasn't been heard as your full-time job. Whatever it is that we might lay down in this world to do God's will in the long run, it's only to our gain. These things might be scary now, but because they're things God wants and might want from us specifically as he prompts our conscience and our spirit, whatever we might give up or sacrifice or lose out of love for God and others in doing his will, in Jesus we know God's still with us. He's not going anywhere and he'll always be with us every step of the way. And the more we're feeling out of our depth and maybe feeling a bit anxious, the more that'll make us look to trust in God, and the more then we'll grow in our faith and love of God. As Paul writes, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul says, don't be anxious, but pray. Talk to God with thanksgiving. Thank him for his promises, for his love, and that he's always with you in Jesus. And then ask him to help you do his will, which comes with the added promise that God will then guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The more we talk to God, asking him to help us to do his will, the more he'll keep us in Jesus. So rather than be startled into inaction by fear, let's turn to God, thankfully remembering his loving Jesus, and ask him to help us listen. Listen to Jesus calling us. Take courage. Don't be afraid. Obey me. I wonder what he's calling you to boldly do for him today. As believers in Jesus, it's not okay to live in fear, to fret over and focus on surviving like the world we live in, caught up in the churn of fear and worry, with no thought of God, because that's sin. But God's love in Jesus drives out fear, so that we might have courage to do his will, even in the face of scary things. And it's as we do this that we'll do way more than just survive. As we face scary things and are forced to look to Jesus more and more for our hope and peace and strength, we'll thrive. Thrive in our love for God as we boldly do his will. So don't be afraid. In Jesus, God loves you, and he's always with you. So let's go and boldly do his will. Let's pray. Father God, forgive us our fear that stops us living wholeheartedly for you. Thanks that your love to us in Jesus drives out any fear of punishment from you. Help us reckon afresh with the fact that in Jesus, you're intimately and eternally with us and for us, and to be boldly doing your will. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.